The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
The opinions expressed by the guests of this show do not necessarily express the opinions of Dr. Weinerman or Weinerman Pain and Wellness.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Welcome to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Philadelphia's premier physical therapy and pain management facility. Here are your hosts, Blake Rosen and Dr. Albert Talone.
It's a Tuesday afternoon in the Delaware Valley. Welcome in, everybody, to our second live show of 2018. What a week in Philadelphia it's going to be, and what a week in South Philadelphia and around the Delaware Valley. It's going to be this week, J-Doc, as the Eagles find themselves on the doorstep of one win away from going to the big game in Minneapolis. Oh, what a celebration it's going to be all week leading up to that game on Sunday night.
Did the Eagles play last week? Just update me on this, y'all. I've been around the city. I see people running around happy, but oh, yeah, man, absolutely. Cannot wait. What an amazing game last week. And certainly, man, and after seeing that the ending of that Minnesota game, I mean, come on. I can barely wait until Sunday. Who can barely wait? It's going
to
be incredible.
We'll use that positive energy to welcome everybody into the Pain and Wellness Hour as we come to you on 860 AM WWDB. We're all presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Serious doctors for serious injuries. Go to WeinermanPainandWellness.com. That's WeinermanPainandWellness.com. Real timely show for you today. A little bit later on in the program, Dr. Albert Talone has made it up to the studio here in Bala Cynwyd. We're going to talk about flu outbreak in the Delaware Valley, Doc, and that is as timely as the Eagles' victory over the weekend, because it is running crazy and it is running with some hysteria out there, not only here in the Delaware Valley and here in Philadelphia, but all states being hit by this. We'll deal with all of that a little bit later on.
Yes, sir, Joe. The only place to go is Hawaii. They've been spared, but all 49 lower states on the mainland have been exposed to this epidemic. So we're going to teach you how to stay well so you can enjoy the game this weekend.
All right, stay tuned for that, Doc Talone, coming up about 11:44, and we'll get into that flu outbreak, the name of the virus, what to do, and as Doc said, J-Doc, how to stay healthy, how to fight it off.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Hawaii might not gotten hit by the flu bug. But, you know, they got computer issues over there because, my God, you wake up and, you know, some intern hit a button. Next thing you know, they're all running for cover. So, yeah, I mean, it's a give and take. You know, this is a tough time for the flu. As long as it doesn't hit South Philly, Joe.
All good stuff. And we welcome Kelly Hempel into the studio. She's an attorney. We know she's excited to be here. She's from Krasno, and Owadinjo. And, Kelly, I welcome you into the Weinerman Pain and Wellness, the Pain and Wellness Hour, presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here.
So, Kelly, obviously, we want to welcome you to the show. And, you know, the Pain and Wellness Hour, we feature some of the top legal professionals in the Philadelphia region in the area of injury law. And so we're happy to have you on the program. First off, tell us a little bit about yourself and the firm.
Well, I'm born and raised in Delaware County, Pennsylvania. I attended law school locally. I've been practicing for a little under 15 years now. I limit my practice to workers' compensation. I'm certified as a specialist in the field of workers' compensation. I've been with Krasno for about 3 years. Beforehand, I was with a medium-sized Center City-based defense law firm representing the employers and insurance carriers. Luckily, I have the benefit of knowing what they don't want you to know.
Right, and that's the thing. I did a little homework, so I'm pretty well versed on your career, and so you know, let's talk about that. You know, as a former defense attorney, obviously it gives you you know, experience and the knowledge of what you're up against when you're representing a client. How much does that help you?
Very much so. I feel I have the added benefit of knowing what they don't want you to know. It helps to guide clients along, giving them the ins and outs of things from day one, from the time they're injured, things to try to do to avoid the unnecessary hoops that they have to jump through down the line.
Sure. Now,
Kelly, let me ask you, just so the audience starts to get a visual and an understanding of who you are as an individual. You got into workers' compensation and advocating for the rights of workers or for the rights of those who are injured. Why?
I'd have to say largely my family background. I come from a working class family. I was the first person to graduate college in my large family of multiple cousins, nieces.
Exciting stuff. That everything. I'm sure was a big moment, right?
Yes. And my father was a union member for 38 years in one of the local unions. My brothers, my brother and my brother-in-law, they're both in local unions as well. And a lot of my family members are in the trade. So I thought that it was really important to help the people that are out there doing things for this city and building our city.
Now, and that's interesting, and certainly, you know, what you said, Delaware County, right?
Correct.
Okay, what high school?
I went to Trichester High School.
All right, so you know the Delaware Valley, and coming from a family of tradesmen, you know what the injured workers go through. And so we have a labor and injured workers program with the unions, and certainly. When somebody gets injured on the job, let's kind of lay that out there, because obviously with your experience on the defense side, you know what happens, you know, from the point of injury. And our program's a point of injury program because of so many challenges that workers have when they get hurt. I mean, especially in the trades, they want their jobs. They're not interested in being out. And you got hardworking people who they do their job. They're just expecting that, you know, the right things are going to happen to them. So let's talk about at the point of injury when somebody gets hurt. What's the first thing somebody has to do?
The very first thing they need to do is to provide timely notice. And by timely, the best answer is always to give immediate notice. Now, one of the problems that you run into with that is something that you just touched upon.
Exactly.
Is that people do not want to lose their jobs. They fear for it. However, I can't stress enough that timely and immediate notice is the best thing for everyone. If you don't provide the immediate notice when you're on notice that you're supposed to do that, one of the things that oftentimes happens is that it's automatically denied from the start.
Even though they say you have how long to report that?
Well, it depends on your manual for your employer. Normally it says immediate or within 72 hours. However, under the workers' compensation law, so long as you provide notice within 120 days, you're protected.
And hypothetically speaking, could you imagine if somebody gave notice at 119 days, you know, saying, and by the way, I mean, it sounds funny, but really it's not. Somebody bangs their knee up, they're a hardworking individual, they're going to try to suck it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've gotten calls, and I'm sure you've gotten tons of them, where somebody, you know, they thought they were doing the employer a favor, but more importantly, like you said, they don't want the stigma being hurt on the job. They don't want to start trouble, all those things. And then what can happen if you don't do what you're supposed to do there?
The problem is oftentimes employees are trying to do a favor for their employer when, at the end of the day, the employer's ultimate interest is their own. No matter how loyal you've been to the company throughout those years, you need to protect yourself and not be concerned about protecting the employer, number one. If you don't properly and timely report it, the insurance carrier will oftentimes deny the claim. Even if it was witnessed by others, and you could bring people in to attest to it, if you don't timely report it, they're going to give you a hard time from day one.
Kelly, how much influence does an employer actually have? Or is it as simple as once the employer transitions it to their insurance company or transitions it outside of the front door, do they have influence?
It depends. What I mean by that is many of the employers around here, especially larger employers, they're self-insured. If they're self-insured, they have much more control than simply the insurance company. You are correct that once it goes to the insurance company, if it's strictly an insurance-based policy, that the carrier has much more of the control. However, in the end, ultimately, I always told my clients on the defense side that my responsibility was to represent not only the insurance company, but the employer. So technically, they both do have some control.
And I think for the individual who's then injured, right, the individual who's experienced the injury, you almost have to take yourself away from feeling concerned for the employer or worrying about the employer, because at the end, the employer is not affected. Is that, I'm not quite sure what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to get the
So for insurance policy purposes, oftentimes people are concerned because number one, if they tell their employer that they've been injured but don't actually provide formal notice, sometimes they'll be concerned that it's going to raise costs for the employer, do all types of different things based upon what they're hearing from the employer. Now, it becomes very, very, very difficult when you're dealing with that situation and you want to continue working. But at the end of the day, the insurance is affected. The ratings are affected by how many claims there are, as well as the self-insured policy and whether or not an employer can continue to be self-insured. So at the end of the day, you just need to keep in mind that even if you want to be loyal to the employer, this is your life, and it's going to affect your future.
And interesting, because words like loyalty, somebody told me recently, I had a workers' compensation attorney tell me recently that an individual was on a job, they were driving like a fork truck or something like that, and there was some kind of a truck was carrying materials. The material fell off the truck onto the forklift, hurt the guy. The company emailed, you know, told the guy, look, you know, obviously you're injured. There's no, you know, we're not going to fight this. But the work comp carrier fought it anyway and denied the claim initially. And so the reason I say that is because in a loyalty type sense, and that's the first, you know, you're talking about, you know, your families, you come from, a union family, and these are hardworking guys and women going out to work every day. Loyalty is a natural. It's a natural virtue that you have on a, you know, just as a party. You expect that back, and very much and very often we find that loyalty does not, you know, it's not in the equation often when somebody gets injured and that case gets sent to the insurance company.
Yes, and that's one of the things that we oftentimes have to deal with explaining to injured workers that even if your employer is saying they're going to accept it, sometimes it does go to the carrier, and they will deny a claim for no good reason whatsoever. At the end of the day, the reason normally is they believe it's more cost effective for them to deny the case and fight it out, hoping oftentimes to starve out an individual.
Exactly. What? So when somebody gets
do you find that accomplished a lot? Where an individual is starved out of the process?
Not if they're represented by us.
But getting to the point of getting represented, perhaps they're starved out before they've even done that, yes?
Well, that's one of the main reasons why it's important whenever an individual is injured at work, as soon as possible, we recommend that they reach out to an attorney.
Exactly.
If they reach out to the attorney, at least the attorney could be there to walk them through the steps of it and how to properly deal with things. So even if they do not want to stop working, it's not to say they necessarily need to do that, but take the steps up front to talk to an attorney to avoid being starved out, because unfortunately it does happen too often in this business.
Now, to back up a little bit, so I was looking at your resume. You're a certified workers' compensation specialist. What's that mean?
As of 2013, the Bar Association began offering a test to become certified as an expert in workers' compensation, or as a specialist, I should say, not an expert. You had to have at least 5 years of experience and take a lengthy test, and based upon that, depending upon whether or not you passed the test and had the requisite experience and credentials, then you could hold yourself out as a certified specialist. Most people that are practicing are not. Correct.
Yeah. And when you say certified by the state.
Yes.
Supreme Court of the state authorized the standards. Am I correct?
That's correct.
That means the test was hard.
It was hard. That's why we're on this side of the microphone.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
We're not certified. We're certifiable, but we're not certified. How much time do we have?
1 minute, J-Doc.
Okay, so we get kind of mixed up. We're certifiable.
We let this guy know that I'll manage the commercial breaks.
We're going to talk about, when we, Joe, I'm going to kind of
Kelly Hempel is in the studio with us from Krasno, Krasno, and Onwadinjo joining us here for a good conversation as we roll along on 860 AM WWDB. It's the Pain and Wellness Hour. We'll take a commercial break. We're all presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Serious doctors for serious injuries.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
And back here live on the Pain and Wellness Hour on a Tuesday afternoon. We welcome everybody in to 860 AM WWDB. We're here every Tuesday from noon to 1 p.m. along with J-Doc. I'm Joe Krause in the studio. Don't forget, coming up, Dr. Albert Talone, important information, the flu outbreak in the Delaware Valley. We're going to give you the name of the virus, what to do, how to fight it off, and all of that coming up a little bit later on in the show. Kelly Hempel from Delaware County, an attorney at Krasno, Krasno, and Onwadinjo is joining us in the studio as part of our good conversation today, and a good conversation it is, J-Doc.
So you were recently honored as was it the top 40 under 40 by the National Trial Lawyers Association, which is an awesome honor, number one, and also, you know, gives us some credibility here, because I wasn't kidding when I said we bring in the best minds. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, it was nice to make it just under 40.
Right, yeah. I would like to get on that list myself, but I'm about 14 years too late, but go ahead.
In late 2017, I was contacted by the National Trial Lawyers asking to add me onto one of their attorneys at the top 40 under 40. They take into consideration your professional background. They do some independent research to take a look at if you have the characteristics that they're looking for, and I was honored to receive that.
That's awesome. Congratulations. And let's talk about that. When a client comes to you, what can they expect?
They can expect daily communication on a consistent basis. At the very first meeting, I try to give a little bit of an outline as to what to expect for a workers' compensation claim starting from day one. Even if they're into their injury for a while, I explain the process to them, because oftentimes they don't know the process. That's one of the drawbacks of our system. It seems as if the insurance carrier has absolute knowledge as to what's going on, and they try to lead the injured worker down the path as to how to do things.
Sure.
But it's in a vacuum, because they have no clue what they're actually doing. So I try to give them as much as information as possible up front, explaining the process from beginning to end. And then thereafter, I ask that they communicate with me daily, meaning on a weekly basis, to give me an update, to make sure that they're getting the services that they need. And to the extent they need any referrals out for medical assistance, we try to assist them in finding great medical care, such as the pain offered by Dr. Wieneman's facility.
And having said that,
Kelly, can I ask you how many people take you up on that offer of touching base with you on a daily basis, of communicating with you? I think it's super important, and my reason in asking you the question is to just encourage people to not be shy or to not feel as though they're being an inconvenience or a PIA, and you're their attorney, and it's important for both.
Even when telling people or asking people to please reach out weekly, many times they don't do it, unfortunately. There are a handful of people that stay in consistent contact. For those that don't, I just make sure to follow up so that we can stay in contact and to reiterate to them time and time again that, look, we're here for you, and you can feel free to contact me at any point, whether it's by cell phone, text message, email, whatever's easiest.
When you're representing somebody, especially somebody who's injured, you're not only an attorney, but you're dealing with a lot of emotional stuff. I mean, you're talking about their dignity, their ability to provide for their family, their productive nature. How often do you kind of transition into being like, you know, a counselor?
Every time. I don't think that there's one time that I don't do that. And even after a case comes to conclusion, whether it's winning, losing, settlement, whatever it may be, I stay in contact with my clients. It may sound funny, but oftentimes they become my friends.
Sure. No, I mean, it doesn't. There's not many relationships that are more important to them other than their you know, spouse or immediate family member than somebody who's really got a lot of their livelihood, their life, and their health on the line. So it doesn't surprise me at all that, you know, when you bond with somebody, you're representing them, and in some cases their lives are in your hand for a specific amount of time. Let's talk about medical. So having an injured workers program in labor, we've dealt with the panel doctors. We've countless times individuals go innocently and they don't understand that they're in the middle of, you know, they're like the least part of the equation. In some cases, they get injured and they're supposed to report it. And then they, you know, they don't even know, you know, when we're talking about, you know, when they're talking about medical, they don't even understand if the employer has met the requirements, to send someone to the panel doctor. Talk about the requirements that an employer needs to, you know, have in order to for an employee to go to a panel doctor.
Well, first of all, the first stage is at the time an employee is either hired or at some point before an injury, an employer is required to have the employee sign a notice of rights and responsibility under the Pennsylvania Workers' Compensation Law that places them on notice that they're required to treat with panel doctors for 90 days following an injury. Mm-hmm. They're also supposed to have a list of panel providers posted throughout the facility somewhere. This is all beforehand. Then at some point close in time to the injury, either at the time it's reported or close thereafter, the employer is required to have them sign that document a second time. They don't actually have to formally hand them a second copy of the panel, but so long as they know where it's posted or if they have a handbook, they're supposed to look to the panel.
Sure.
Now, one of the problems with this is who remembers what they sign at the time they're hired for?
Exactly. I mean, almost no one that we've dealt with.
So I tell people to find out if they can get a copy of anything they signed at the time they initiated employment. If it's a big employer,
you can assume that they met their burden.
Right. If it's a smaller employer, they probably can't produce it for the person anyway because they probably never had them sign it. I also tell clients that it's very important that you get a copy of anything that they do have you sign at the time that you report the injury or sometime thereafter. People are scared to ask for these things.
Sure.
But they're your documents.
That's a big point in the injury process where, I mean, we've noticed that, I can't even remember. You got guys working on high-rise buildings, and the building trades call us up and have gotten injured You ask them if they've signed anything. You're right. You're 100% right. They might have signed, you know, they signed, you know, they signed up the, you know, because it's, for our listeners that don't know, when you are, for, when you're working in the Philadelphia building trades, some unions, and I was an iron worker, so in my union was, well, you know, at the end, you have 20, 30 W-2s at the end of the year. And so you sign up and they'll give you a bunch of papers. You're on that job for 9 months. You leave that job. So you're no way going to remember. And for those individuals that have been with employers for years, how could they possibly remember? In that process, you'll ask them to see if they can get that documentation. If they can't, and most of them are afraid, intimidated, how do you approach it after that?
Well, if they can't, then I usually try to be cautious. If they think there's a possibility that they did sign something, then I normally will recommend for their benefit that they continue with the panel for the first 90 days. However, that being said, I would ask for them to at least get me a copy of the panel, which is usually a little easier to access,
right,
to take a look at it to see if the panel's actually compliant with the law. What that means is there are supposed to be 6 different panel providers listed on the panel. Oftentimes what people don't know is if the panel does not include a chiropractor, you're free to go treat with a chiropractor outside of the panel. So that's one of the things that I'll try and look at to at least get them in with a doctor or a provider that's doing something for them, even if they're still seeing the other panel providers.
Who sets the panel? Is it the company?
Either the insurance company or the employer.
That's predetermined.
Yes.
For the most part.
Yeah, they pick and choose who they want on there. They can oftentimes decide who they want. If it's a good company, they'll have it.
If there's an injury, if there's an injury to a worker, is it possible that the injury sustained doesn't fall under the list of the panel doctors that are specified?
And isn't there a geographic requirement? So if the individual works, say the individual working in Center City, okay, but they live in Chester, how's that work?
You're out of luck. You pretty much have to go what the panel has to offer.
Okay.
Even if you have to go in to Center City and you live in Chester.
Okay.
There are exclusions occasionally. And as to your question, there are times that there may not necessarily be a specialist directly on point. However, usually the panel has a pretty vague range of doctors, such as someone specializing in internal medicine or family medicine, something of that sort.
So it's pretty general.
Yes.
But it would never be where I have an injury, the identified list of panel doctors don't specialize in the injury, so the panel doctor would refer, is that how it works, would refer me to somebody else in that in their network?
It doesn't even have to be in their network. If they refer you off panel, they can refer you off panel. So long as you're referred by the panel to go to that off panel
okay.
doctor.
When somebody is injured and you know they're going to the panel doctor, what we find is, and what our point of injury program does is, we have a medical network ourselves, and so there's so many things that injured workers don't know. There's so many things that the work comp panel doctor tells them. You're not allowed to go see your own doctor. You're not allowed to, you know, which is incorrect. You can go see your own doctor, but it's payment is the issue. And so we find that, you know, especially like, for example, Wineman Pain and Wellness, they invoice the workers' compensation carrier to make sure that worker has documentation of their injury. How many times does somebody come to you, they come to you 6 weeks down the road, and there's no documentation from the panel doctor? There's no diagnostics. How often does that happen?
All the time. One of the things that I see most often is, when someone first presents for medical care, the best example is they go to the emergency room. They complain about their neck, but they actually injured their upper back as well. Well, the insurance company may notify the panel providers up front it's a neck injury.
Right.
And then immediately after that, even if they're reporting to the panel provider asking for treatment to the upper back, the panel providers will not treat any of the body parts other than what the insurance company tells them they're going to pay for.
Which is why in many cases, we also, and tell me what you think about this, with our injured workers program, we automatically engage the attorney, and we didn't used to do that, but they're injured workers are so used to talking to attorneys, and we can't give legal advice. We're advocates, and they're dealing with individuals that are scaring them. So what we try to do is engage a medical professional to get their point of injury examined. Also, they have documentation that doesn't cost them out of pocket, costs, and we engage the attorney so that they have a support system in the face of a system that kicks the crap out of them, How often do you 6 weeks down the road, somebody's completely lost and you got to almost start from scratch?
That happens all the time. Oftentimes what we'll do is, it's a good idea what you've recommended, to at least go somewhere to have it properly recorded as to what your complaints are, whether that's the emergency room, your practice, or somewhere like that, to make sure that you're properly protected. So long as we, as the legal advocate, let the client know, just be prepared if there's a denial by workers' compensation as to the effect that could have with any type of billing.
Sure, absolutely.
One of the other things, just to touch upon,
sure.
In conjunction with the panel, is oftentimes, not just the panel, but any doctor's visits, is that a nurse case manager will be assigned by the insurance company to attend any appointments. I'm not a huge fan of the nurse case manager. Different attorneys will tell you different things.
Sure.
Not personally, but I think that that's one of the big things that injured workers do not realize, is that just because that nurse is sent, they do not have to be involved in the appointments, whether it's with the panel or their personal medical provider that they're seeing for it.
If you know that one of your clients is going for, an evaluation, an independent medical evaluation, and the provider, the work comp provider, is sending a nurse, how do you deal with that?
I recommend to clients to have little communication with the nurse case manager. You don't need to be rude or disrespectful. Treat them like you would any other person. Try your best not to disclose personal information. In my experience, they tend to try and learn things about you or act as if it's a friendly situation. Just what did you do over the weekend? A normal conversation. But this isn't a normal situation, so don't have a normal conversation.
Sure.
Kelly Hempel is our special guest here in the studio, attorney from Krasno, and Onwa Dinjo. We'll continue the conversation. We'll take a break. Still to come, Dr. Albert Talone, back in a moment.
If you're injured and need rehabilitation to fully recover, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness in Center City, Philadelphia. If you're suffering from a diagnosed disease that is causing you great discomfort, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. They will provide transportation to and from their Center City office. If you are confused, if you are troubled by your medical challenges, or if you feel hopeless because others have made you feel that way, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainAndWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step. A developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
Just anybody. Help. You know, I need someone. Help. And welcome back, everyone, to the Pain and Wellness Hour. As we broadcast to you live on a Tuesday afternoon in the Delaware Valley, 1234. We're presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Serious doctors for serious injuries. Go to WeinermanPainAndWellness.com. Kelly Hempel is visiting with us in the studio, an attorney from Krasno and On with Injo. And it's been done very well in the hot seat today. Well done, Kelly. Nice job today.
So, Kelly... Krasno and On with Injo. Tell us about the firm and obviously what types of injuries you represent and all those things.
Our firm's been around for 75 years. We represent individuals all throughout the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We have 12 offices locally in Philadelphia and Norristown. We have a number of attorneys here in the Philadelphia office. Three of us are prior defense attorneys for a number of years. We have a retired judge, and Jason Krasno, who is the third generation workers' compensation attorney, which I believe he's the only one in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Really?
Yes. We offer services, as I said, all throughout the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, wherever it may be. We do not only represent individuals with respect to workers' compensation, but also our firm represents individuals for Social Security disability. Mm-hmm. We hold ourselves out in the industry. We pride ourselves on having communication on a daily basis as the attorney with the client. Some firms that you go to may direct all services through the paralegal secretaries and whatnot. We try our
personal
hardest
service.
Not to do that. Yes. One-on-one contact.
And is the firm, so the firm is, you know, the primary practice is workers' comp, but also Social Security disability.
That's correct.
And that would be long-term. When somebody has to you know, obviously apply for Social Security, SSD, Social Security disability, that's typically a long-term, maybe, you know, a chronic injury.
Correct.
So that so when you're, when somebody comes to Krasno and you know, they it's obviously a large reputable firm. They can count on a personal experience and understand that, you know, they're getting the attorney that there's, you know, and they're not going to be dealing just with, you know, like you said, the paralegals.
Absolutely.
When you're dealing with somebody who's hurt and it's a long-term injury, let's talk about somebody who may be, maybe it's a third party case. They've been injured on a job and, so, you know, say they fell in a hole that another employer dug. How do you handle that?
Well, we try to have communication with whomever, if it's an attorney that referred them into us for that, or if we refer them out for a personal injury attorney for that end of it. Normally what happens is we'll litigate, if we need to litigate, the workers' compensation case to conclusion, meaning either to a decision granting the petition or settling the case. After that is usually when the third party end of things start to gear up a lot more. So we keep communication with the attorneys who are representing them for the third party end of the claim as well.
Exactly. And that's what I was talking about. Does that take a lot of coordination and do those cases affect one another? So in other words, does the treatment from somebody, you know, who's been injured at work, but it's a third party case, does the work comp treatment affect the PI, you know, either case?
Most definitely. Both ways. I would say that it goes both ways. It's important that when someone's injured at work, that they're getting all the appropriate treatment and taking the steps to have their injuries accurately recorded, so that when they do go into the next stage of litigation in a third party case, they have everything properly defined so that they're not closed out on anything on the third party end of it.
Sure.
And like I said, most times the workers' comp comes to conclusion before the personal injury end of it finishes up. But it's important that for both, you keep your treatment consistent and on an ongoing basis all throughout.
When somebody does get injured and it's a third party case or it's not, when they come in, they don't know much, do they? They don't, you know, a lot of them are, you know, it's up to you many times to, what I would say, scrub the case to understand, you know, to evaluate the entire scope of the case.
Absolutely. We need to explain to the client the difference between workers' compensation and the third party end of it, what they can obtain out of the workers' compensation end, which is the payments for loss of wages as well as medical benefits, to make it clear that through the workers' compensation end of things, there are no entitlements to pain and suffering, loss of life's enjoyment, things of that sort, and to explain to them that those are the type of things that they can seek to recover in the third party end of things.
Now, we talk about legislation and what was it, House Bill 1800. We talked during the break a little bit. We touched on evidence-based medicine and what the work comp providers are often trying to, and the right-wing legislators are typical or trying to do, on a constant basis. Why do you think work comp is under such attack, by the right wing? We had the grand bargain, right, back in Joe's age, day and age, back in, what was that, 1913? I'm just saying, they gave us, in lieu of suing your employer, they gave us workers' compensation, right?
Yes.
And they're constantly trying to gut it. It's like, we're going to give you a car, but there's no motor. Why do you think that is?
It's all about money. The insurance industry wants to save money, employers want to save money, and that's their bottom line. So we need to make sure that we do everything possible to fight against any type of legislation like that, to make sure that the injured worker has control over his life, has the ability to decide what type of treatment he believes is appropriate and necessary, and not have that in the control of the legislators.
Kelly, you have experience on both sides of the table, both sides of the conversation. Is it a flawed system?
I think every system is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, it is. That's why I switched sides after representing the companies for so long. It takes one case that becomes very personal to you to change your mind and see things a little differently. And I think that when you are on the defense side for so long, you become a little bit too ingrained in it, too much of sometimes what I'll call a true believer. And don't give the benefit of the doubt to people that are actually hurt at work.
You know, how
they need the benefit of the doubt, by the way, most of the time.
Yes, absolutely.
How big, so you're representing these workers, but like our, Joe and I do the labor show once, some of our labor leaders have said we get legislated out of our ability to work, okay? Well, you're representing injured workers. How important, that must be a big part of your life, not only representing them, but also you're representing their rights. How important is preserving those rights to you so that you can represent them?
It's extremely important to me. I do what I can. I'm active in the Bar Association, and you need to get out there and do things that you can to make people more knowledgeable, to explain to them what their rights are and to make sure that they're protecting themselves. I go out and speak to people wherever it may be to explain to people it's your life, you've got to take control over it, and don't let someone else do that.
Kelly Hempel of Krasno Norma Dinjo, tell us contact information.
You could reach me on my cell phone at 610-742-2720 or in the office 215-223-6718. You could also email me at khemple@krasno.com.
All right, well, listen, fantastic job. I want to thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast. Certainly well-deserved, your accolades, and we look forward to having you on again.
Thank you for having me.
All right, good stuff, Jay Doc. We'll take our final commercial break at the Pain and Wellness Hour here on 860 AM WWDB. Much anticipated, much expected, Dr. Albert Talone, talking about the flu break in the Delaware Valley. We'll deal with all of that as our final segment returns after the commercial.
Meet the doctors of Weinerman Pain and Wellness located in Center City, Philadelphia. Dr. Albert Talone, with over 40 years of medical excellence, you're in good hands. Dr. Michael Polino, specializing in the treatment of medical disorders like fibromyalgia. And Dr. Brent Weinerman, the ultimate medical professional who will treat you with an unconditional commitment to surpassing your highest expectations. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainAndWellness.com. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Introducing the YMCA, What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the why, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
And back here live on the Pain and Wellness Hour, as we come to you every Tuesday on 860 AM WWTB. Dr. Albert Talone is in studio. The flu outbreak is not in studio, but it is everywhere, Doc. And I do mean everywhere. A good Tuesday afternoon to you. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Joe.
Doc.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about the flu. And are you telling me you're going to cure the flu? We only have 10 minutes, and I think... You don't even need that amount of time, do you, Doc? Give us the secret. Let's get out of here. Get all these people get better. Or am I a little off there? And you're going to provide some good information.
I'd say you missed the mark there, Jay Doc.
I'm just saying. I never underestimate Dr. Talone. I mean, you never know. So, Doc, tell us about the flu. Tell us what's going on around the Delaware Valley.
Well, there is no cure for the flu. It's a self-limited disease. It's a rite of passage. If you get the infection, you're going to go through it.
So much fun.
However, medications can be prescribed. If you catch the virus within the first 72 hours, it can minimize the symptoms that you experience with the flu. So the first thing I would tell people is get a flu vaccine. I had patients this week come in and said to me, they didn't get the flu vaccine. They said they never had the flu. They didn't need the flu vaccine, but now they got the flu. And I said, well, next year you'll get the flu vaccine. But in some instances, especially the young under 5 years of age and elderly, it can be very serious, a life-threatening potentially illness. And you should get medical treatment as soon as you can. What happens to folks that get the flu, they're so debilitated, so washed out that they get a secondary superimposed infection, which may be another virus or a bacterial infection, and they can get even a viral pneumonia or bacterial pneumonia. And that's a bad piggyback on the current condition. That being said, it's important to be immunized. And if you haven't been immunized and you do come down with the flu, you should see a physician within 48 to 72 hours because he can prescribe a medication known as Tamiflu.
Right.
Which will shorten and abbreviate the course. It does it by decreasing viral production in the bloodstream. So that's important.
Dr. Talone joining us here on the Pain and Wellness Hour. Doc, when we started the program, you talked about 49 states. You talked about a virus that's not only here in the Delaware Valley, but everywhere. What is it? What is the virus that's affecting everyone?
Well, it appears to be a type A virus, which is the most problematic of all the viruses. There's type A, type B, and parainfluenza virus, and there are subsets of A and B. This one this year is the H3N2 virus, which seems to be doing all the damage. We had it here about 3 years ago. And, when we make the vaccine every year, it's made on a prediction based on viral experiences in the southern hemisphere, the lower part of the globe, and then we make a formula. That is, the CDC does that for preventing the best vaccine. However, we never know how it's going to play out because this type A virus, H3N2, modulates quickly. Type A viruses modulate quickly, and this one modulated into H3N2. So you hear some criticism that the vaccine is only about 30% effective, which is better than nothing. And in most cases, the vaccine given this year is good for 40% of the occurrences of the virus.
So the flu vaccine is not, so there's so many different types, strains of flu that, you, as medical professionals in the industry has to calculate what, I guess, they think is going to be right when you could actually get a flu vaccine and you catch another strain of the, is that what happens to those individuals who get the flu even if they had the flu vaccine? It's typically
I know what you're saying, Joe, where you're going with that, but that's not true. What happens is that you're immunized with the strains that's in providing the vaccine, but you can acquire another virus that the vaccine doesn't cover, because as I said, type A of all of them will modulate quickly into other subsets of type A. That's where the problem is. These things are pretty clever. That's why we haven't been able to immunize against the common cold. There's so many viruses.
Right.
They modulate so quickly. I mean, we can't catch them all. So the flu seems to be the most notorious of all the respiratory infections because it's common, and it's by droplet infection. You sneeze, you cough.
Right.
And if you're within a few feet of somebody, you got a good chance of getting it. That's why I tell folks, carry a handkerchief or some tissues, cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. That's the best prevention. And wash your hands frequently, you know.
When you get the, if you're run down, is there a different ways to be more susceptible than, you know, in other words, if your immune system's run down, if you're not getting enough sleep, are you more susceptible to getting the flu?
Absolutely. If you are an asthmatic, children who are asthmatic, if you are a smoker and you have obstructive pulmonary disease or emphysema, chronic bronchitis, you're at risk. If you are a patient undergoing treatment with chemotherapy or radiation, which affects your immune system, it blunts your immune system, you are at risk. So those folks definitely should be immunized.
When you're around a lot, I noticed and every year, right before Christmas is my nephew's birthday. We go over to sing happy birthday to him. He's around kids all day long. There's two of them, two little nephews we have, and one of them's always sneezing or coughing. And I'm telling you, it's almost without fail. I didn't get it this year, but I'm at a 75% clip. When you're around a lot of kids, like a teacher or even, you know, parents, relatives of children who are going to school, is that obviously more susceptible?
Well, they're all together, and many of them don't know simple hygiene yet. They're still learning as children about simple hygiene, which is to cover your mouth and nose when you cough or sneeze. Wash your hands frequently during the day. Adults are better at that, however, not as good as they should be. But, of course, children are more susceptible. Their immune systems aren't fully developed, although they're strong, but they're not fully developed. And it's all based on your exposure to these viruses.
Doc, earlier you said a rite of passage, meaning we've got to go through it. If you get it, you got to go through the process. Is that necessary?
There's no reversal, except, as I said, this product called Tamiflu. If you catch it within the first 72 hours, You have a chance at ameliorating or easing the symptomatology, the symptom complex of flu. But once you're past that point, wherever it leads you, you're just going to have to suffer through with it. There's no antibiotic. There's no antiviral that's going to change that.
And how long is that process, Doc? It could be as long as how long?
3 to 5 days, you know, you'll feel better as the days go by. Sometimes if you get a secondary infection or you get a viral pneumonia on top of that, or you have secondary complications, if you have chronic illnesses, it can go longer.
Is it just one last follow-up on
sure.
that? If you're a day two or day three and you're working through that process,
mm-hmm.
Are you exposing everyone in the home?
Oh yes, that's very contagious.
That's constant until you get to day five and it's left the building.
You're coughing, you're sneezing, you're in the house. You know, you got the circulating air; it's pushing it all over the place. So, if you have it in the house, chances are very good that you're going to get it.
Doc, once you get it, and then anybody, you know, and I find the flu is like cliche, right? I mean, but except when you have it. And, you know, you feel like you're going to die. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I got to have something more than the flu. This is, and you have the flu. It's just, what are ways to, you know, obviously you have the flu. You feel terrible. What are ways to kind of nourish your body to fight it while you have it? I know it's got to run its course, but I'm just saying, ways to nourish yourself.
Well, I would like to tell you, so that you know if you have the flu, there are three things that have to be present to have influenza. Fever, you ache all over from head to toe, your body aches, and you have a dry cough. Those are the three things. So that's what earmarks it from being a common cold or a common respiratory infection. Sure. They're always associated with fever. What can you do to help yourself get plenty of rest? Eat well, stay well hydrated. And if you're feeling poorly or you've been exposed to something like that, get some extra rest and pay attention to your nutrition. Over the years, we've recommended vitamin C, ascorbic acid. Seems to be of some benefit. Mm-hmm. There's some other products over the counter that seem to help with those mucus-type-borne infections, but nothing conclusive. But it's hydration, eating well, and rest.
And if you can't eat or don't want to eat or don't feel like eating, or what does that mean? What happens then?
Put on the chicken soup. Eat chicken soup.
Mm-hmm. Dog, right?
Makes sense, right?
And when you have a big family, I mean, you know, typically the flu hits the whole household often hits the, you know, a number of individuals in the entire house. They give it back and forth.
Yes, you can. It's however, once you go through the course, you have built immunity against that virus, that particular virus. Okay. No other virus, but that one. If that comes next year, that exact one, which is unmodulated, then you're okay. But chances are that won't happen.
The flu shot at the beginning. So I got mine, I guess, in the spring sometime.
Yes.
Or was it? No, in the spring. Talking about
the fall. You get it in the fall.
The fall.
September, you start immunizing folks.
And the doctor said to me I was due for one. And, you know, when, you know, so were you saying that once you get that, once you, because I was, I don't want to talk about it, saying, I don't want to jinx myself and say, no, I've been good. But once you get that, what are the, you know, and you mentioned some percentages. What are the percentages that, you know, that you're not going to get the flu? How much, you know, as far in regards to protecting it?
Well, with your health status and the fact that the vaccine gives you 30 to 40% coverage, you know, you're upwards of 50%. And if you practice good health habits, that all goes to your benefit.
Sure.
Dr. Albert Talone with some great stuff here in the studio today on the flu outbreak around the Delaware Valley and what you can do as you lumber through the process to get to the end. That's going to bring our show to a close today, the Pain and Wellness Hour, all presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injury. Special thanks to Kelly Hempel, attorney from Krasno, Krasno and Owodinjo, for joining us here in the studio, and of course for Dr. Albert Talone for his many, many years and years and years of great expertise. We thank Dr. Talone as well. On behalf of my partner, J-Doc, I'll give you 15 seconds, J-Doc, to close the show. I'm going to let you do it.
You're
tonight.
You're going to let me
quickly.
Do it?
Quickly.
Just a great show, Kelly. I want to thank you so much. Certainly a great segment. Dr.
You're
Talone.
Out of time, J-Doc. That's going to do it for the broadcast today.
I was set up.
Get a flu shot.
I'm Joe Krause. See you next time.